about a nice round of applause for the three wise mammies coming at you out of the number five. Sister Algonquin Jane Calhoun, Sister Genghis Adonis Osmosis, and Sister Anne the Divine enter draped with bits of wise men costumery. And they sing about the white boy troubles. And these things are screwing each other. Quentin, I think, is screwing the doll. So Thingfish says, might as well stop complaining, boy. The damage been done. Leastways, you all can pretend to be some kind of daddy. You rubber bitch ain't going to change no diapers. You said you all was incredibly happy. Enjoy it while you got it, boy. This shit going to hit the fan in a minute. Harry's a boy. What? Something bad is going to happen? Thingfish, you figure it out. Judging from the intellectual expression on your beloved's ignorant face, the bitch going to be contemplating a career of her own. See that? Look like she got her one good eye on a briefcase and a tweed sport coat down the mall somewheres. During the intromission, few of the sisters seen her tenant of consciousness-raising meeting over at the Hiltum. That's right. Bitch passed up the mashed potatoes and took off with the high school cafeteria butch. Or high school cafeteria butch. Francesca opens the bungalow door and stands on the porch still watching through the binoculars. Thingfish says, making matters worse, the Italian that be owning your nativity bungalow been wondering about the hanky and the panky between you and them two concrete flamingos over by the steps. You've been messing with the state bird of New Jersey, motherfucker. That can get you five to life in this vicinity. If you want a little friendly vice, boy, I'd be growing my ass up a little quicker and whiz on out of here. Leave the ugly baby in the crabgrass, snatch up your wretched excuse for a woman, and climb up on the heap. Get yourself, what is that? Leave the ugly baby in the crabgrass, snatch up your wretched excuse for a woman, and climb on up the heap. Get yourself a job driving a truck full of string beans to Utah. Make something out of yourself so you can afford a ticket to Mammy Nun's show. Then we can piss all over the adulterated wimp you're going to become and get the shit rolling again. The crabgrass baby flies out on a string. The nativity scene exit left. Francesco's bungalow exit right. This reveals a stage split in two, with one side being a perspectivized truck stop diner and the other side a perspectivized highway with a perspectivized string bean truck waiting for Harry's a boy to climb in. Artificial Rhonda takes a job as a waitress at the diner with an illuminated sign reading Hawaiian Lunch. The former video Christians are her customers. Quentin Robert de Nameland appears, attempting to rekindle the flames of love in a rubber heart. Thingfish says, "Woo, look at that, a big old truck and a box and no doze. And over there, a crazy old diner where your rubber bitch can reassume part-time employment in her former profession, slinging hash in the direction of the blue-collar community." So then there's a song called No Not Now, goes along singing the song. Thingfish eventually says, "This the Mammy Nun show, folks. Anything can happen. Shut up. You need the vacation, boy. You got the white line fever. Couple of donuts and some cowboy music fix you right up. Breaker, breaker, get down with the comeback. Sleepy wimp seek lasting relationship with anally oriented aluminum siding salesman." And more singing takes up a lot of pages. String beans to Utah. String beans to Utah. Deliver string beans to Utah tonight. Donnie and Marie can both take a bite. No, not now. She changed her mind. She the best in town. The whole bowl, the handle, the whole damn thing, the best in town. The inflated duplicate is whisked upward out of sight. Francesco's bungalow and the nativity box reappear. The manger is empty. Thingfish and Abdullah lurk in the corner of the creche as it slides in. Harry, in S&M submissive gear, is kneeling before them. Rhonda enters left, wrist to forehead, suffering magnificently, dressed in a Santa Claus costume. Under it, she wears a rubberized bodysuit with pornographically exaggerated tits and ass, designed to look like the artificial Rhonda body, carried to its most alluring extreme, including a tasteful thatch of bright red Raggedy Ann yarn at the crotch. Basically, it looks like Rhonda is trying to get Harry's attention, because Harry's off with somebody, and Harry's a boy with artificial Rhonda. But artificial Rhonda does grow up into Rhonda. Okay. Harry snatches Sister Abdullah X away from Thingfish, bashing himself with it in an irrational manner. Rhonda unzips the Santa Claus costume, revealing the rubber bodysuit, hoping for some sign of interest from her deranged husband. There isn't any. He's beating the fuck out of himself and loving every minute of it. She squeezes her rubber tits as if to squirt them at him. Still no interest. She says, "You're a worm, a fucking worm. These are my tits, Harry. I have tits. Look, look at me. Look at my wonderful tits, you fucking worm. I'm going to pretend I'm squirting them on you. Woo, woo, almost gotcha. Harry, not now, Rhonda. Oof, oof. Oh, I love this. Hurt me, hurt me. Oh, pull my chain, you tiny potato-headed whatchamacallit." Rhonda says, "They're almost squirting, Harry. Look, look, woo, 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 you fucking worm. Thingfish, Abdullah, is you all right? Don't be pulling the boy's chain too hard there. He's got another show to do tomorrow. Don't put that in your mouth, girl. I know you can't help yourself with that crazy motherfucker abusing you like that, but just hang on a little longer. He be dropping the wad pretty soon now." Rhonda, pinching her nipples, jiggling her tits. Jingle bells, jingle bells. Harry, oh, this is divine. Rhonda, this is my pussy, Harry. Look, see it? You know what I'm going to do with it, you worm? I'm going to make it fuck something. Rhonda, that's right. You won't get any of it because you're disgusting. I don't need you, Mr. First Nighter. My wonderful, wonderful pussy doesn't need you. I have my briefcase, Harry. I'm going to fuck my briefcase. I'm going to look at this. I got it right over here. There, see it? My big brown briefcase. My briefcase. It's big, Harry. It's full of business papers from my career. So, a tan and brown briefcase, 7 feet tall, is lowered in. Big briefcase. Francesco watches it land near his window. He exits the bungalow with a can of Crisco and a violin case. In pantomime, he cautiously interrupts Rhonda's monologue, suggesting that she examine the contents of the case. It contains a strap-on dildo of such ridiculous proportion that a chain leading from just behind the head of it must be hooked to a leather dog collar around Rhonda's neck in order to hold it up. Francesco recommends the Crisco as a lubricant, dabs on a bit with a miniature doll's foot. That miniature doll's foot shows up in the booklet for Uncle Meat back in 69. Finally, see, you know, he has that little image, no explanation, miniature doll foot. It gets retrieved 15 years later. Finally, he dabs a bit with a miniature doll's foot, finally indicating that in the interest of good taste, she concealed her pubic hair with a cardboard box in the manner preferred by famous singing Christians. Rhonda reaches inside the briefcase and locates her special atomic glasses with tiny doll arms reaching out through tiny cardboard boxes, and she puts them on. She reaches in again and finds an artificial hamburger with a red ribbon on it. Red ribbon. She mounts it on top of her head, tying the ribbon in a neat bow below her chin. Ready at last, she humps the briefcase vigorously. She says, "I'm going to put my glasses on, Harry. I'm going to put my hair up in a bun. Then I'm going to fuck, fuck, fuck. Ha, ha, ha. Look, see me. See how I got my hair up. Ooh, I'm really doing it. Ha, ha, ha." Harry, Rhonda, have you no shame? Keep the briefcase closed, for Christ's sake. All your documents are falling out. As oversized file folders emerge, Rhonda says, "I'm good. Oh, good, I'm good. Harder, faster. This is terrific. Boy, I need it so bad. Thingfish, girl, best be careful with the latch. Harry, those are the Warner Brothers files, aren't they, dear? Don't you think there'll be some questions about the condition of the blue paper?" Rhonda, with the handle in her mouth, semi-intelligible. "I'm sucking the handle now, Harry. Look, tastes good. Look, the handle. Harry says, "Hurt me, Abdullah. Make me whimper and beg for your tiny rubber love." After nibbling on it as if it were a giant piece of corn on the cob. Thingfish hands Rhonda an oversized pink fountain pen with her name on the clip. She says, I've got a fountain pen, Harry. I've got a fountain pen with my initials on it. I'm putting it in my mouth, Harry. I'm going to get it wet. I'm going to stuff it up my asshole and ride the briefcase again, you disgusting, perverted bastard worm. I'm going to do it. Look, Harry. Woo, ooh, God damn it, Harry. Watch me. This is for your own good. With the entire cast in a frozen tableau, Brown Moses reappears clutching the crabgrass baby. So look at that. Brown Moses now hanging out with the crabgrass baby, pluking it. And there's a song. He's there singing away to the baby. And he says, as Thingfish examines Sister Abdullah X for damage, Brown Moses begs for a handout. He accommodates him. I guess Thingfish accommodates him, tucking little Abdullah under one arm, rummaging around in his habit for a few bucks. Brown Moses hands him the crabgrass baby for security, thanks him, and exits left. Right? He hands over the baby for insurance on the loan, I guess. Is that what that means?
Yeah.
The evil prince and his Broadway zombies appear as the nativity box does one of its famous rotations. As a result of his previous raw chitlin ingestion, he and the rest are showing obvious signs of mammy nun knackin' sproutulence. So they're getting mutated. Making matters worse, when he sings, he sounds like Harry, and when he speaks, he sounds like Thingfish. That's the evil prince. Evil prince and his mammified fake Broadway singing. What is happening to me, and also to the old zombie I used to know? Of course, they once so spectacular. Now we'd be talking the vernacular. There's a strange kind of reaction to the pig with the before. It's immune to the resist, I suppose, from sucking up the grease from the duodenum dribblings out of the pig before. I can laugh and rub my chin when my resist come rolling in. It's just like catching a second wind. I feel so gay. Some nights refer to me as scum. No, some mites refer to me as scum, because where'd they all be coming from? When the glute colugna rushing down the plane, if they're going to be coming, is underneath some raggedy dirt in the suburban outskirt of old Manhattan. Traffic patent near the gay white way. Evil Prince says things, continues. I gets clammy saying mammy. I gets chills all up my spine. I gets wistful with a fistful of Nishium blind. Just like tugging on the heartstrings. Just like them little old falling apart things. Just like whatever dad is rotten, we has surely not forgotten how to pretend to sing. Now, day's hope, we ain't going to die. Only the suckers forced to buy them expensive tickets we've been selling at the do. Now we got some Broadway zombie mammies. We got some ugly old orphan Annie. And attrition and the traditions will go on and on and on. I love to see the zombie fly. It sort of makes you want to cry. Because we is Broadway. We is expensive. And we can't never die. Harry, Jesus, that was terrific. I've never experienced anything quite like that in the theater before. How about you, Rhonda? Rhonda says, you're a worm, Harry. Drop dead. God, you're disgusting. Don't touch me. Yuck. What is this scum on your chest? Did that little rubber mammy do something on you? We got a few pages left. Thingfish alarmed. Oh, Abdullah, you little vagrant. What you been up to with the chump over there? Let me see your draws. Just couldn't help yourself, could you? Phew, you best be washing that thing off, darling. I knows we supposed to be indestructible, but what you got ripening down there be putting us all to the test. Wow. Or yeah. So Evil Prince says, personally, darling, I found the preformance with the briefcase to be uncredibly stimulating. Rhonda goes, eat shit, you overbearing male chauvinist member of the scientific community. Thingfish, wait, a sweet little hunk of heaven. What a sweet little hunk of heaven she growed up to be. When she were deflatable, she didn't say nothing. Just kept her face open like this, waiting for the salami that never arrived. Now she's fucking the briefcase, dumping the paper all over the floor, hair up in an ugly old bun, fountain pen dangling out of her asshole, and talking dirty to a member of the royal family. Girl, this cocksucker might be evil, but he am a prince. Now he be talking the, I don't know, that's, what's her name? What's that movie we've been... let me forget. Now he be talking the vernacular. I find it considerably more convenient to indemnify with his point of view, says Thingfish. Read that again. This cocksucker might be evil, but I here I am a prince. Now he be talking the vernacular. I find it considerably more convenient to identify with his point of view. Evil prince, show enough. Mm-hmm, yeah, well, you a wise old mammy. Where are you from originally? Thingfish, St. Loomis. That's St. Louis. I don't know, I read all this St. Louis stuff. It turns out that the prince is getting awards at Thingfish. I mean, at St. Louis, at the university there. This pisses Thingfish off. Thingfish he accuses the boy. Okay, evil prince, just might distress your ass to learn that on the way home from the Sam Quentin tater mashing experiment, me and the country resting musicians dropped by the college to receive an honorary degree. Thingfish, you a lying boy. They giving degrees in tater husbandry back in the old alma mater. Evil prince, that all they be given anymore? That all they given anymore? Motherfucking tater husbandry be the wave of the future in St. Louis. St. Loomis, graduating class were over 700, and every one of them dealing with them taters like the shrimp murderers. And every one of them dealing with them taters like the shrimp murderers down at Benny Hanny's. Then Thingfish joins in, looking down at Abdullah. What? Huh? You want a what? Abdullah, the prince just be shooting the hometown shit here. He ain't going to give us no more problem. What you mean, girl? Okay, go ahead and fuck the little crabgrass baby with the enormous white pompadour. Just get down and dear with you nasty. Just get down on there with you nasty little old degenerate self. Just get down on there with... Crabgrass baby with the enormous white pompadour, just get down under with you nasty little old degenerate stuff. Thingfish puts the crabgrass baby on the floor and positions Abdullah over it. He places his foot on Abdullah's back and pumps both of them up and down. While Abdullah emits multiphonic whimpers and the computer speech program runs amok, Thingfish comments, twist and shout, work it on out and in, huh? Get down, go on, give him a little shoe. That what Denny be doing. Work on Jumbo every time. Go on, get the little pompadour up in the air again. I liked that part. Just like the Olympics. Okay, so. Harry, it's fascinating the way things are resolving themselves around here. I never would have suspected anything like this. So Rhonda yells more at Harry, says that she's evolved. She and her secret society of women have evolved past the men. They were too busy playing golf. You watched football. You drank beer. We evolved. We only look like Wandas and Rhondas. We are superb, Harry. We are sublime. We are perfect in every way. And you, what are you? You are the all-American cocksucker, jizzing all over your leather cock... You are the all-American cocksucker jizzing all over your leather cocksucker costume after beating the snot out of yourself with a rubber mammy. I simply can't respect you, Harry. You ain't no good. Go ahead. She'll be I'll read that again. I simply, where were we? You're the all-American cocksucker, jizzing all over your leather cocksucker costume after beating the snot out of yourself with a rubber mammy. I simply can't respect you, Harry. You are no good. Go ahead. Smell the pen. Go on. I'm wiping it, Harry. There you go. During this, the lights have dimmed, leaving Rhonda in a spotlight. Harry crawls into the spotlight circle and assumes the traditional pose of the RCA dog, begging to sniff the open. Rhonda moves it higher and higher, torturing him. No, I think I left something out. The lights have dimmed, leaving...
I don't know why my brain works like this, but I was thinking in the fallen state, we are all like Rhonda, full of oxygen, all the deflatable, full of air. And then we come into our power and we become nymphomaniacs, bitches.
You're saying that all those injections, all those hormones that Patty, that was all planned by some committee in whatever that high school was called. where are we at?
Yes, but it's like he's making fun of Broadway. And he says, we pretend to be singing, but the whole society is pretending to be singing. Everything is fake play, politics and the religion. And
look at the
and
business.
We all know it's like a play, but it's like people just accept to watch this absurd play.
I simply can't respect you, Harry. You are no good. Go ahead, smell the pen. Go on. I'm wiping it, Harry. There you go. During this, the lights have dimmed, leaving Rhonda in a spotlight. Harry crawls into the spotlight circle and assumes the traditional pose of the RCA dog, you know, on the LPs, begging to sniff the pen. Rhonda moves it higher and higher, torturing him. His nose finally reaches it. Francesco stands nearby, fetishing Abdullah. The track for No Not Now played backwards. The first words are meant to be Harry's reaction to the odor of the writing utensil. I'll have to note that before the show. So it says, the track for No Not Now begins. The first words are meant to be Harry's reaction to the odor of the writing utensil. So it says, not really Harry's voice, says Epsom sauce backwards. Then Thingfish says, whiff it, boy, whiff it good now. Mammy, step forward and try to get on down with them Broadway zombies. This to close the number now. Moses, get you brown ass over here. Leave the Colonia alone for a minute and cornhole you some evil prince. Believe he done evolved to the point wherein he can handle it now. See that? Uh-huh. Look like he's severely enjoying it already. Sound like he enjoying it too. Uh-oh. No, look like he's severely enjoying it already. Sound like he enjoying it too. Here's your eye ear. I smell trouble. Look like he got the ianooshed. No two ways about it. I-D-I-N-E-ianooshed. Don't know what that is. The mammy's dance tangles with the zombies, eventually hurrying them off stage. The evil prince cornholes Rhonda, who doesn't even notice as she waves her magic wand fountain pen around for Harry to follow. Thingfish snatches up the crabgrass baby and Abdullah, one in each hand. Shaking them like maracas while twirl dancing around the yard. Harry as a boy and the artificial Rhonda reappear chasing after the infant. Quentin Robert de Nameland cornholes Brown Moses. Opal rides the bull while Francesco gives her an enema. The nativity box rotates erratically, delivering Dutch midgets, offering onions to the audience. Sicilian Dancing Virgins, The Count, and Frankie C., and finally Robot Frank with the lawn jockeys and the piss pump, adding a final festive touch. Thingfish says, so we're coming to the last pages. Before y'all departs, I just wish to say in conclusion, as matters of this gravity generally require some type of philosophical post-inscription, that what y'all have witnessed here tonight were a true story.
Right. Everything is
Bob,
true.
Bob only... But only the names or the potatoes have been changed to protect the innocent. Galoot Colonia, don't buy it, peoples. This had been a public service announcement. Wave goodnight to the white folks, Abdullah. Ron says, this is symbolism, Harry. This is symbolism. Really deep, intense, thought-provoking Broadway symbolism. Modern, Harry. Harry says, take your hand off that chain, honey. A conga line is formed. They all exit through the audience, except for Francesco, Thingfish, and Bobby something, and Suster Abdullah X. The crabgrass baby has been returned to Harry's a boy and artificial Rhonda. They emit via the rotating nativity box, leaving Francesco. He watches them silently. When he is sure they are gone, he walks to the edge of the stage, pauses for a moment, then screams, Ben Francesco. So that's Harry screaming for Francesco Zappa. And then he says, Porco Dio. The opening string trio is heard once more. Francesco tosses his copy of Grove's Dictionary into the manger. Marilyn Monroe getting subway air blown up her dress again. Another dwell. ECU, only this time the word is in Mongolian. Cut to Genghis Khan with a baffled expression, seated on Daisy at the pony ride, surrounded by beige parents demanding brave behavior. Cut to Marie Antoinette getting subway air blown up her dress. Cut to the... Did I do Marie Antoinette?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what, Marie... Genghis Khan, with a baffled expression, seated on Daisy at the pony ride, surrounded by beige parents demanding brave behavior. Cut to Marie Antoinette getting subway air blown up her dress. Cut to the subatomic physicist beating the snot out of Dirk in the alley, still yelling, shut it off, etc. Cut to Abraham Lincoln in top hat and tails, standing over the Marilyn Monroe Memorial subway grating, waiting for something to happen. Nothing happened, so he flips his tails up manually and says, "Wee!" Cut to the President and the First Lady watching The Devil and Miss Jones. An over-the-shoulder view of their TV screen reveals that it is, in fact, old Zircon in Miss Jones. The President, that certainly does give a person something to think about. Ah, it's the Christmas toddy. What format is this, Beta or VHS? Cut to Uncle Willie on his bed as he turns and answers. Uncle Willie says, I does not know, Your Majesty. It is obviously Uncle Willie, but we see him now with a head like a potato and lips like a duck. It's obviously Uncle... So, Uncle Willie... It's obviously Uncle Willie, but we see him now with a head like a potato and lips like a duck. So Uncle Willie got mutated. He crams his cigar in the dummy's mouth. He winks at us disturbingly. He takes a coffee puff. He takes a big puff and exhales it toward the camera, where it forms the words, Christmas in New Jersey, unquote. Freeze on the smoke words. Fade to black. The end. All right, you guys.
Bravo!
How did it end? Right, how did it end? Let's go back and look at that. It ends with Uncle Willie and the dummy. And Uncle Willie, abuses dummy's mouth. Dummy probably doesn't help. Uncle Willie's lifestyle. So no New Jersey income. Has a whole list of cut twos, all that stuff I read. Sentences so he can find what we're doing. So it ends with another failed mission, and they're waiting for the breakthrough, which has arrived, and waiting for them to catch up. Well, I gotta go have something to drink. Anything else?
Well, what would Adorno say if he watched this play in Broadway?
Let's see. Anybody come in here being blocked? No? So, what do we do? It's 5:30, and we got to play rewrite now. Carol's now back up. Carol's joining the thing. I've been reading. I've been talking for 7 hours straight. Talking and reading.
Maybe she can expand on the idea of how to get out of the vortex. I mean, on the one side, we need art and satire, humor.
Yeah.
But there is also the chemistry that...
Okay, Carolyn, there's your assignment. Explain how to get out of the vortex.
Part of the barrel.
The barrel. What's the medical barrel to protect us?
Take the completement formulas, please. They're there for your physical so that your other bodies can have a soft landing place.
Yes, but maybe you could say something about the vortex of the chromosome 14 that Ion mentioned. There is this type of activation that it's a cross, but it's like rotating.
Right. Well, I don't know exactly what you guys have been talking about or what you're getting at, but certainly in cellular dynamics, there's probably that sort of momentum going on because they in science for so many years just wanted it to be a lock and key mechanism where things happened in the cells, but it's much more holographic than that. So that's where the vortex would come in. That's what comes to mind, and it probably occurs at the chromosome and DNA level. And if we think of the 98% of the DNA that's been designated as junk DNA, and if we realize that's a significant part of cells, and there's movement, momentum, vortexing going on there, those are a bunch of words that might mean something to somebody's head. What do you think, Roxana?
Yes, because I am always talking about all these strands that usually, it's we're supposed to have only two strands, but with the reset, the amount is amazing. And how this vortex sort of makes a new braiding of these spirals. And that's where I was saying this is the real stairway to heaven, to ascend.
Yes, yes, yes. The walking up the spirals. So spirals implies vortex. And when you look up the definition of vortex, it's a whirling mass of water, especially one in which a force of suction operates as a whirlpool, a whirling mass of air, especially one in the form of a visible column or spiral as a tornado. So there's the spiral, a whirling mass of fire or flame, something regarded as drawing into its powerful current everything that surrounds it. And it's not really a vortex the way I talk about minerals going into the cell and pulling water in after it, but that's kind of osmosis. But if there's any power to it, then it could be kind of vortextual. And in Cartesian philosophy, vortex is a rapid rotary movement of cosmic matter about a center, regarding as accounting for the origin or phenomenon of bodies or systems of bodies in space. So yeah, if the chromosomal matter is, as we know, very pivotal, then there's a lot of activity around it.
Yes, and well, I think it's amazing how all these ideas about the thunders and the vortex and the fall being a process like a vortex that take us down, but we also come out of this vortex, transform again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing how all these things are being elucidated in many different aspects
right.
of what's going on.
Right. So
and
like
we,
said,
we talk about Zappa and McLuhan and all this, but the chemistry is also very important. And
right.
It's
but
part
like
of,
you said many times, like you said many times before, it's pretty impossible to describe it. I know you all are on the show for hours and hours and hours talking, and you know, I guess trying to describe it, but it's indescribable. It has to be a felt feeling place in a person's physical body. If we're still, you know, alive on Earth, that's where the physical body comes in.
Yes, and that's the thing, that this is the new type of science that cannot be separated between, for example, media, ecology, and art, and medicine. It's all one explanation, one thing
mm-hmm.
that it's happening. And we are getting to understand these changes as they happen. Like McLuhan said, you have to be cool and watch the vortex to try to understand what's going on as it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I
right.
think you and Bob and Ion are giving us the pattern that you are observing in the vortex.
Right, and I think a lot of it comes from a person's confidence. If you're confident that you are worthy, I know Bob probably doesn't like that word, but if you are confident that you're worthy to know this information, that you should know this information. This information is something that is your birthright, et cetera, however you want to say it. Then the answer, the knowing of it, just comes to you. It just makes sense. It feels right. It's okay. And then once you kind of have that lodged in yourself, that you know. Either what, you know, Bob is saying has some meaning for you, the completeness formulas have meaning for you, a few things that you can just latch on to, then you start approaching your completeness and you don't feel less than, et cetera, et cetera. So It's hard to describe something that's indescribable. And that's why Bob keeps doing the show. Right, Bob? Right, Bob? He's in the depths of the kitchen. He's in the muffin,
he's in the
muffin utility kitchen.
Yeah, in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but I think we are in this McLuhan, and I think Ines said people are going to retrieve the mystical and the spiritual in this time of extreme technological bombardment, because they need to balance what seems to be non-human with something else, and it's the need to retrieve the non-physical. And many people get lost into the New Age type of explorations or explanations, but we're trying to give something to the labyrinth of the mind, because it's easy to people to attack and say these people are claiming things that are not truth, or are exaggerating, or are another type of cult. But we're really trying to explain this extension only like the technology of the non-physical expanding ourselves, and we're just not trying to be objective, not to fall into this type of New Age talk. And that's why we go
right.
to the satire to the
right.
to the Zappa.
Yeah, because science has brainwashed us to think that science has the answer, but I think we all know enough about science to know that it's been sold down the river. It's focused mostly on drug, the end point of a drug solution. It's science is too linear, too Cartesian. It just wants to look at one thing and find one answer. And then the opposite of that, like you're saying, is, you know, the New Age mentality that anything that's not science is New Age woo-woo. And here we are in the middle of that, trying to say our words that get caught up in either the science definitions or the woo-woo definitions, but we're definitely somewhere in between. And you know, Bob, with your help, you're trying to define the new terminology to define Eindom and how people can be in their own power, and all those, again, words that are have such incomplete definitions. That's why Ion was constantly getting us to redefine words, to, you know, to beat the old obvious definitions out of our heads. So yeah, we're defining the new space, right, Bob?
Yeah, for me, for example, what's a big surprise every time Ion says, "You don't know what is this? How your body really works? All the systems? What's going on with your heart? With your hypothalamus? With all these secretions? With It's like we don't really know anything. We don't know what matter is. We don't know what energy is. And we are supposed to have all these theories and science based on false premises that I think there is time, for example. So it's like I don't know how we have any technology based on science that is like fiction. All theories suppose things, but it's not like really proving. It's just like we think it's like this, we suppose it's like this. And it's amazing that everything is based on suppositions and hypotheses and
I think, you know, we have new technology because people get it in their dreams, in their so-called dreams. When they're in other worlds, they bring back the information and then they apply it. So, yeah, it's never based on technology if you listen to the reports of, you know, genius people who come up with neat things.
Yeah, so hopefully we are finally retrieving real science, real knowing, and we are understanding what is this meat body and other aspects of what we are that were never considered, and also about the environment that we are realizing how things have been changed, for example, by media, by electricity, that were never considered, because it's a type of heresy just to think or to say publicly anything about the non-physical or the mystery landscape.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the next step that... I think you and Bob are very brave to take that step publicly, because everybody cares so much about reputation more than truth. It's just this fake Broadway play. Like this.
So what did you get out of the Broadway play?
Well, in a way, everything in the environment is this type of fake cheapness. And people are entertained by that and engaged in that. And it's like... Zappa is presenting this exaggeration of the situation, like it's not only, like Adorno said, the low culture and the manipulation that takes place with that bad food and bad information, but it goes beyond presenting these satires is a way to laugh at the situation, but to observe the vortex and get new patterns to understand how to repair it. And that's the function of art. We have to survive, like McLuhan said. It's all about... Mm-hmm. Finding solutions to survive the vortex of the environment, and instead of getting afraid or sad, we can also laugh as we observe the vortex, how it works, how to work with it, and how to come out of that. And I think that's Zion all the time. He has been so funny from the beginning. Like, the situation is terrible when we think about it, but he's not coming and making people afraid, like, yeah, there is no golf anymore, and when you die, you're in this limbo, or I don't know. This is not this making people scared, but he's making people laugh. Like, this is an absurd situation, so there is no point in transitioning anymore. And instead of making that a tragedy, he's making us laugh with all this situation that seems to be so so dramatic.
Yeah. That's okay. That's well said. Difficult, but well said.
Yeah, difficult. So, like, how do you mean difficult?
Well, see, what she's trying to talk about is difficult.
The end of the play is, this is true, or what was the phrase?
At the end of the play.
It's all true.
No, it doesn't say it's all. It says freeze on the smoke words. The words says Christmas in New Jersey. Freeze on the smoke words, fade to black. Is that what you?
No, he says in conclusion.
Oh, you're talking about Ion. Yeah.
No.
That's
this
right.
Just read it. Conclusion, where a true story, something like that. What's the last?
Yeah, I don't remember that. Wonder where I read that.
Just now.
What?
Just now.
I haven't said anything. You mean just now, the last 20 minutes?
Yeah, when you
at the end of the play, it says, in conclusion, we're a true story.
Oh, okay. That was said by somebody. Yeah, I don't know where that is.
Yeah,
I remember saying
that. And Zappa is presenting these terrible things that are going on, and the environment being polluted, and virus are being set free in the environment. And it's true, it's happening, but he's making a comedy out of it. It's not...
Mm. Here it is.
Are mutants and they are safe anyway. Nothing happens with the virus.
Right. So Thingfish at the end goes, before you all depart, I just wish to say in conclusion, as matters of this gravity generally require some type of philosophical postscription, that what you all have witnessed here tonight were a true story. Only the names of the potatoes have been changed to protect the innocent. Names of the potatoes.
Yes.
I just wish to say in conclusion, as matters of this gravity generally require some type of philosophical postscription, that what you all have witnessed here tonight were a true story. Only the names of the potatoes have been changed to protect the innocent. Galut Colonia. Don't buy it, peoples. This has been a public service announcement. Wave goodnight to the white folks, Dula.
Yeah, that could all be right. The ending of every payday. It's
yes,
all true.
Right.